Well, now on to talking about some objections. Bruno Vern, you guys there?
Yes, sir.
I'm getting some emails kicking across here.
I'm here now.
Vern's here now, too. All right. Here's an objection, and maybe other people get this. Thank you, Randy, for sending this. I'll throw it out there, and really this is meant to be a roundtable. So I want to hear how Bruno overcomes it. I'd like to hear how Vern overcomes it. I'll probably throw my two cents in. And there's no wrong or right answers, you two. It's just how have you seen to overcome this in the past? If you hear an objection, you honestly have never ever gotten it. Be honest and say that. Because here's the thing about objections, and everybody needs to know this: the top producers don't know how to overcome objections typically. Because they just don't get them that often. They overcome them before they get them. So if you don't get it, if Bruno or Vern, if one of you guys, if you don't get this objection when you're out there selling, tell what you've done to avoid getting it. If you've never gotten it, and don't do anything to overcome it in the first place, just say, hey, that's random. I've never heard that. If you get it, how have you overcome it in the past? So here's the first objection. I have a meeting with my financial planner next week to discuss whether this is the best option for me right now.
I love those.
I've gotten those a couple of times. I always ask them, is your financial planner going to guarantee that you're going to have coverage while you're still thinking about it, or in the meantime, you know, you're meeting with your financial planner in another week. Why don't you just give him a call and see if he's going to guarantee that you have that conditional coverage while you're waiting on that meeting with him?
That's good. That's a good response.
And along those same lines, what I have been doing in appointments recently, and recently within the last few months, is trying to set up the appointment so that things like that won't come up. So that even if they do, I can revert back to what, if I try to set the appointment, with like Robert Wallace, you know, that I'm not there to break their bank. It's a little bit of a combination. Robert Wallace, Stephen Roberts, you know, Jason Myers is using, you know, the script we had from Stephen Roberts. But, Robert Wallace, you know, I'm not here to break your bank. I'm not here to take your kids from you. You mailed in this letter. There's a level of coverage that you felt you needed when you mailed it in. I'm here to make sure that we can provide you that coverage at a premium that you're able to afford. And we have to find out if you meet the minimum requirements before we can do any of that. Once we do figure out that you could possibly qualify, because I don't make that decision, then we have to send in the application requesting coverage. While it's being underwritten, you can talk to whoever you need to talk to, discuss it with whoever you want to about it, but the process has been started. And really, your final decision is not going to have to be made until I've delivered the policy to you.
Cool. One of the things I like telling stories of myself when I was in the field. I was actually in Plano one time, which to me, I think Dallas Metroplex as a whole is the home of the $35,000 a year millionaire, where people are making $35,000 a year, but they act and live like they're making a million. I had it with this client, what I'm telling you here is a negative example, if you will. It was just one of those nights. I'd already had four appointments. I'd closed the first three. This is my fourth one, rather. I hadn't had four. I had three, and this is my fourth appointment. And I'm meeting with them, and I knew their incomes because I used to do a very complete phone call and found out all the details on the phone, but I knew their incomes. And he threw out that objection, Randy. He said, yeah, I really want to talk to my financial planner. And this was like the last straw, because this guy had just been, you know, and really I should have gotten up and left a way before, because this was going to be a no sale. But this was in my brasher days, when I was a little more aggressive and a little more, there's lots of nice words you could say about how I acted back then, but unpolished. Let's say I was unpolished. And he said, I really need to check with my financial planner to see what he says. I said, great. When you're talking to him, ask him why in the hell you're only making $35,000 a year. And I got up and left, which if I hadn't, he'd have thrown me out. Because somebody who's making $35,000 a year, if they've got a financial planner, they need to be fired because they're not helping them at all. Well, yeah, they set me up an IRA. You can do that online by yourself. You know, I mean, you can set up account with an account to trade stocks on E-Trade. I mean, you can do a lot of that stuff online yourself. A financial planner is somebody who helps you plan those next steps. So, and let me revert back to the positive. So if somebody says this to me, yes, and probably is not going to be on the phone because most of our phone calls are very short and sweet and just booking an appointment. Usually you're going to get this in the home, and they say, yeah, this all looks good, but I have a meeting with my financial planner next week to discuss whether this is the best option for me right now. I'm just going to take these numbers that you've shown me, and I'm going to show him and see what he has to say. My response is this. Outstanding. That is awesome that you have a financial planner. Let me ask you, how involved is he with your financial planning? How involved is he? Well, I mean, what do you mean? Well, I mean, do you guys talk once a month, once a week, once a day? How involved is he with your financial planning? Well, he's moderately involved. I probably talk to him once a month. Okay. So if he's pretty involved, I mean, that sounds pretty involved in your financial planning. He knows you bought this house, right? Does he know you closed on this loan? Yeah. And he hadn't met with you yet? And Bob, I'm not trying to offend, but the reason I ask is, what a lot of people don't understand, and some financial planners don't understand, is that you're not covered right now. You're vulnerable. I mean, if you're on your way home from work tonight, Bob, or tomorrow night you're on your way home from work, or tomorrow morning, you have a stroke in the car, something crazy. How's Mary going to pay for this house? It's sort of professionally irresponsible to wait another week. So what I've done tonight is because you responded to a letter that we sent you about this product, that's why I called. I didn't call you out of the blue. I didn't call you because I knew you. I called you because you asked me to call. And I'm out here tonight showing you some options. So really, which one does best suit your budget and needs? Did you like this premium option that has all the bells and whistles, or did you want something a little less expensive? Would you rather have those benefits at the less expensive price? What was it exactly that you're looking for? And I just remind everybody, when you're overcoming objections, you've got to overcome it and then go back to the close. See, if I had just said, well, when are you meeting with him? Okay, well, why don't I just come back after that? That's not a close. I just got sold. I got an email here. I think I saw it. Oh, that's good. Dan Gillingham sent this. He says, before you meet with your financial planner, let's see if we can get you approved. If we can, then we'll have an actual contract to review with him with all the details. It's going to actually give him something tangible to look at. That's pretty good.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great response. Because right now we're looking at hypotheticals. I'm not an underwriter. I'm just an agent that assesses the health conditions as you tell them to me and put it on the application. The underwriters are actually going to review the case. So right now everything's hypothetical. Once we actually have a contract in hand, that's when it'd be good for your financial planner to take a look at it. Most likely, guys, what you need to know about that financial planner objection, they don't have a financial planner. That's the thing to remember. Most people don't.
No.
And most people who say they're financial planners are really glorified insurance agents.
Right.
That also have a securities license and can sell mutual funds.
Right.
Because the financial planners that are really worthwhile. And I was talking to a good friend of mine who's got an incredible portfolio just recently, and we were discussing this. The financial planners who are worth their salt are financial planners who charge fees and don't make commissions on what they sell you. So if you're going to a financial planner that makes commissions on what they sell you, not really a financial planner, they're just an insurance agent. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, that's what we are, but just keep things in perspective. That financial planner term gets thrown around and people get intimidated by it. There's nothing to be intimidated by. I know plenty of financial planners that are ding-dong heads. They don't know anything about insurance. All they know is they ask their boss, hey, what mutual fund should I put this guy in, and they sell it to him. And that's just, that's not a financial planner. Somebody's just That's somebody that's just taking the advice of somebody else, and they all make commissions on what they told them. You going to say something, Bruno?
No, I was just like, you're right. I mean, it's usually their brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Their dad. It's not, it's, I mean, I, basically what you just said, it's not anyone who really is qualified to give them that advice.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is super involved in your finances. How come he hasn't met with you sooner? Well, I just called him about it. But you've had this house a month. I can see it. He does. I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't care about you, but why didn't he call you sooner? Okay, I'm getting other emails through.
Plus, also, too, did that client meet with him before he bought that house to see if that was a wise decision?
Right. That's true. Okay, sorry, sorting through emails. I'm actually getting emails for this call and other emails. Okay, I got to sort through what's what. Let me read through this.
Well, and what financial planner is going to advise them not to make sure that their family's taken care of? Unless that financial advisor planner is looking to make the commission on their own product.
Yeah, and without talking to a financial planner who makes, I appreciate you filling the gap there while I was reading. Without talking to a financial planner, and you know what, guys, you should go interview some financial planners. This will count as actual work. Go interview some financial planners, because when you make the money, you're going to need one anyway. But you want to find out what they recommend. Without talking to a financial planner, I went and read books on financial planning. And the consensus is, before you go and do all kinds of investments in your portfolio and have all these retirement plans in place, you get your life insurance taken care of. Your life insurance needs are the first things taken care of, and mortgage protection falls under that umbrella. So if a financial planner is saying, no, don't do that, just put more money in your 401k, yeah, he's making commissions when you do that. And probably, I mean, he may be making better commissions when you do that. He may be getting bonuses and kickbacks and all that sort of stuff, and that's why he's advising it. But every responsible financial planner, financial advisor will tell you, take care of those major debts first. Okay, this is a good objection. I'll read the whole thing. I had 3 appointments Sunday. 2 were written. But on the third, I sat with... So congratulations for writing 2 out of 3 right off the bat. On the third, I sat with a customer who was retired military, had lots of life insurance from the government. And I'll just pause. I never like to put much stock in that. The government has its own weaknesses, and the government's job is not to necessarily take care of us long term. So that scares me that he's got a lot of life insurance from the government. Anyway, his mortgage is only about $13,000 on his land, as he had paid cash for a mobile home. His question objection was, why should he spend $48 a month for this coverage to pay off this small amount, since his wife would get a sizable chunk of money when he kicked off? What could I have said to carry this further and possibly make the sale? Right off the bat, I would say, number one, okay, why did you respond to the letter?
Amen.
Yes.
That's the first thing I would say is, if you don't need it, why did you respond to the letter? And here's how I'd say it. It's Nick that sent this. Nick, I'd say it like this. Mr. Jones, well, you raise a good point. And frankly, I was sort of thinking the same thing. Because you have so much insurance, why did you send this letter back? What was it about this letter that made you want to send it back? I just wanted to see what the price was. I just wanted to check it out, and you know, I didn't know if I needed it or not. But now that you've shown it to me, I just think it's better that I don't get it. Well, and I understand that, Bob. And here's what when a lot of my clients say, why would I spend that just to cover the $13,000? When a lot of clients say that sort of thing, what they're really saying is, and what they really know in the back of their head, that they may have been shocked a little bit by the price, and they can't seem to reason that out. But what it boils down to is the other insurance that you already have earmarked for something else. You bought that for another reason. You got that before you got this place. This place is a new need. See, I just had a son. I had plenty of life insurance before I had the son. Now that I got the son, I need more life insurance. It was a new life event that occurred to me, that happened to me, and so now I have different needs. So you may have a lot of life insurance already, and congratulations for that. But what was that earmarked for? What did you already have planned for that? And just listen to him talk. And go, well, okay, well, for $48 a month or whatever the plan is, I can get you $13,000. And if you pay your house off before then, no big deal. Cancel the insurance. You don't need it anymore. But you want to make sure that gap is filled. You want to make sure that your wife is not vulnerable at all.
Vince, that's a great response. And for Nick's benefit, when we talk about people having, they'll tell you, I've already got so much life insurance. And it's kind of the same response to that type of a, it's not necessarily an objection. They're just telling you you've got X amount of life insurance. And my response has been to that, similar to what you just said, that that's great. But let me ask you something. When you took that life insurance out, when you originally took it out, what was it earmarked for? What was it designed to do? Was it not designed to provide a financial security for the rest of your loved ones, so that when you did die, they wouldn't have to worry about their financial aspect of it. But you also too, when you also took that out, you did not anticipate this $238,000 debt or this $13,000 debt be tacked on top of that. So what this would do then is will pay off that debt, and therefore allow that financial security to remain in place as they continue on throughout their life, so to speak.
Yep.
In other words, what you're really looking for is something just to pay off this debt or pay off this mortgage, and not have to delve into that life insurance that you've got that you took out to provide that financial support for them.
I'm glad you said that. What I encourage everybody to do is when somebody says they've already bought life insurance, don't put them down.
No.
Congratulate them, because most people hadn't thought that through before. They haven't thought ahead enough to buy life insurance. That's a big deal that they've actually purchased it. And we're not selling life insurance. This is mortgage protection. We're making sure the mortgage is protected, making sure your house is going to be taken care of. Life insurance takes care of life. Takes care of expenses and your annual incomes and the lifestyle that you're accustomed to. Mortgage protection makes sure that you have a place to have that lifestyle in. Make sense?
Absolutely. Sure does. I haven't chimed in because both of what you guys are saying, I mean, when folks tell me they have life insurance, I certainly do congratulate them.
You bet.
And then I also ask them, you know, about what's your annual income, Bob? $40,000, $30,000, whatever it is, $50,000. You know, because a lot of folks think that $150,000 policy they have is a lot of insurance.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, unfortunately, when you make $30,000 a year and you've got two or three kids, it's only covering 5 years of your income.
Right.
You know, and even if you don't have kids and you got clients who are older, it's still leaving your wife 5 years of your income. What we're trying to do is make sure with this program that aside from your 5 years of income that's been replaced, there's also no worries about where the house payment's going to come from.
Yep. And Nick replied back, so you guys know, and said, thanks, that was very helpful. He was down the road, and part of that came to him. I know how that goes. You're 15 minutes after the appointment, you go, gosh, I should have said, you know, that would have made the
bad.
Sale.
Yeah.
Well, that's and Nick says a point here that just really is I mean, everybody goes through that. When you miss a sale, you have that same thing hit you later. I should have said, or you know, even if you have an argument with your spouse, you go, man, if I'd said this, that would have really made a difference. You think that later, and hindsight is of course 20/20, sometimes even better if that's possible. But that's why you tune into these conference calls, and that's why you go to the leaderships, and that's why you listen to MP3s over and over and over again. So you're reducing the number of times that you go, son of a gun, I should have said. Instead, you've heard it so many times, and it's part of who you are, that as soon as they say, then you say, and you make the sale. That's the difference between average and ordinary producers and these guys that are writing $15,000, $20,000 a week. That's the difference, is those guys have it down where when somebody says, they say back. They've got it in their head, a whole flow chart, if you will. I see a, and Nick also mentioned he's so excited about going to leadership that he can hardly sleep. I think this will be a great learning experience from this old dog and needs to learn a new trick. I'm glad you're going,
will.
Nick.
Definitely will. He needs to get around those folks, you know, like I was discussing with you this morning, Fitz. He needs to get around those folks that are going to be speaking and anybody who's got a ring on their finger. You know, I know I've cornered Casey before, Casey Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to his MP3 today from that Davies convention.
Yeah.
You know, I plan on spending a little bit more time with him this weekend, maybe even recording some of his stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be something Nick can learn from. And as long as he applies it, then that's going to be what makes it worthwhile.
And I'll say this to anybody that's coming to the leadership that I haven't met personally, please come up and introduce yourself and say, hey, Fitz, I'm on your team. I'm so-and-so. Because, you know, I don't want to go through the convention and not have met you. It's a great opportunity for us to meet and chit-chat. Gotten a couple of emails from a couple of different people saying, you know, more and more I'm getting this objection. The frequency of the objection is increasing. And doesn't matter what objection it is, but the frequency of getting a certain objection is increasing. And so my advice to you is you need to analyze what you're saying. Because if, let's just say I never ever got to think about it. And then I got one week. And the next week I got three. And the next week I got six. And the next week every appointment was a think about it. Well, that's an increasing frequency. And I never used to get them, then something changed.
Right.
And so what you need to do, and this is where this business is very strategic, you need to analyze what changed. And the way to do that, the number one way I've found, it may not be your number one way, but I have found it for me personally to be the number one way, is to role play. Get with somebody who knows. It could be your team leader, could be an agency manager, could be a new agent mentor, could be somebody at a convention this week, but whoever. Could be just a buddy. I mean, back in the day, and I tell the story a lot, Adam Katz changed my personal production life when he said, whoa, Fitz, we were role playing. He said, whoa, what are you doing on that phone call? And he wasn't my manager. Well, I'd been doing it longer than him, actually. And he changed what I was doing. And it helped. He just heard something that I was doing wrong. So, you know, even talking to a peer will help. The best, though, is to work with somebody who knows, without a shadow of a doubt, how to do it. So, if you're getting an increased frequency of objections, then role play it. Figure it out. Get another.
And while you're looking at your next one there, a good way to, if you don't think you're saying something different, record your presentation and listen back to it. You'd be surprised how you pick up something of your own self, just kind of like listening to MP3s over and over again. Every time you listen to something, the same MP3, you go, I'm this way. I tend to hear something different than what I'd heard before.
Yeah.
And it was just that key thing there, like you said with Adam, it's just that one little thing there that you may have said or didn't say that was all the difference in the world.
Yep.
Or, because I remember when Fitz had me record myself when I was having some struggles with the phone call, Fitz told me, record yourself and let me listen to the tape. Because you know you're being recorded, you wind up going back to the pure approach. And you wind up banging it out and close, you know, you're getting appointments or you're closing deals because you know you're being recorded.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what? And I've heard of people, Alex Avian was probably the most famous I've heard of with this. And of course, he's not, you know, not consistently in the personal production field. I think he goes out every now and then just for fun. When we were coming through the ranks and struggling and trying to make ends meet like everybody else that goes through this business and tries to work to the other side, he was having problems in his in-home presentation. He actually snuck in a tape recorder in his briefcase and at the beginning of the in-home presentation started recording it just for his own purposes. He never distributed that tape. He just used it for his own purposes so he could hear what he was saying. And he figured out what he was saying and he changed. So you can even do that. Now, there are some regulations about recording somebody and replaying it to somebody else. I mean, you can get in some trouble there if you do that, but it's not a bad idea to take that extra step. Standard response, and this is coming from Randy Graves, which, you know, if you've seen his name on the leaderboard, if you've not seen it, rather, you're not looking at the leaderboard, certainly turning some good production, part of the growing Joseph Sexton team. But he says on here, that I have life insurance objection. The standard response that he's getting with that is, it's going to be a lot cheaper for me just to extend my life insurance by another $200,000. My response to that, Randy, would be, really? Are you positive about that? I had a client the other day, you know, once that said the same thing, and I agreed with them because I didn't know. I agreed with them. They went to extend their life insurance, and turned out they didn't know it, but they found out they had type 2 diabetes. And so now that $200,000 was raided. So what I'm offering you tonight is a non-medical policy. We're not going to check your blood and urine. We are going to. We do need your medical information. We do need you to tell us truthfully about your health conditions. But based on that information, we don't need to draw blood or urine to issue this policy for you. Now, I'm not saying anything crazy is going to happen to you. But what this program does is so much more than just a life insurance policy. And we can do it without asking to see more about you. We can do it based on what you say on the application. So it may be cheaper, yeah, but it also may not be. And then what are you going to do? Or I'm just saying, you might get rated up. You might even get declined. Then what are you going to do? Now you're vulnerable for that $200,000. You've been declined by an insurance company. Now you got a ding on your credit report, so to speak, on your health history credit report. All life insurance companies at that point will see that you've been rated or declined by an insurance company. And they'll always want to know why. I'm not trying to scare you, but is that something you're really willing to go through? I don't think I would want to. You guys have anything to add to that one?
No. I was just thinking the same time you were talking about that, because I've had the same thing. I've had people say, well, I already got life insurance, kind of like what we talked about before. Or I can just go back and add to it. But that's pretty much been the same response, is yeah, you can, but you got to understand, is you're, however long you took this ago, you took that. Let's say you took that 5 years ago. You're now 5 years older. They're still going to qualify you at your current age and your current medical situation, and you're going to run the risk of you being rated up or declined for that additional amount. And like you said, it's going to show up.
Your current known and unknown medical situation.
Right, exactly.
The
unknown is the one you need to be concerned about.
Right. And, you know, it just struck me all of a sudden. I mean, just right now while you're talking, I was thinking, you know what, $200,000, what does that remind me of? Reminds me of the Forrester's product.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. So you can extend your current life insurance by another $200,000. Listen, what kind of benefits is that company going to give you for doing that? What kind of free benefits is that company going to give you for doing that? What do you mean? Well, I mean, if you die or something, are they going to give your kids a scholarship? Are they going to help pay them to go to college?
What?
And you start listing off, and I honestly don't know them well enough, but you go through and list off all the benefits that Forrester's has to offer.
We all know well and good, especially for Randy, being where he is at, they're not going to give him their money back,
right?
Which Forrester's will do now in his beloved state. So,
Randy's not in Washington, is he?
No, he's in Oregon.
Is he in Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I thought Randy was in California. Sorry about that, Randy. Had you confused. Sorry.
Randy Graves?
Yeah. Graves, yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Randy. Okay, sorry, everybody, for rambling on about that. My bad. Dan Gillingham says, successful closers do not open doors for prospects that lead to objections. Okay. I have a client who currently has an existing equity index UL policy, which she doesn't fully understand. Well, I'll read this out loud. I don't even know what it's going to say, but just I'll take a chance. I have a client who has an existing equity index universal life policy, which she doesn't fully understand. That's understandable, by the way, John, because this is John Hayes sending this email. It's understandable because even agents don't understand equity index UL policies. She has a 7-year-old daughter and a 15,000 lump sum with $450 per month to invest for her education. She wants to do something for her daughter's education, but she wonders why she shouldn't just add to her existing coverage. I'm waiting for her to send me a copy of her coverage to scrutinize, but in the meantime, I need a plan for the for a response. Any ideas? Right off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember F&G's Master Choice, which is the equity index and really the advantages of it. The advantages of the equity index with Master Choice have to do with the cash accumulation. That's a big advantage, is how it's credited and what the caps and limits are. Those are some things. A lot of people's equity index UL policies out there don't perform very well because they say, well, okay, we're going to give you 12% interest because the S&P went up 12%, we're going to give you 12% interest, but you only have an 80% participation rate, which means you get, you know, what's 80% of 12? Crap, I'm doing math, I don't even know.
96, 7,
some, whatever. Hey, I went to Carolina. I'm not a math whiz. I didn't do an Excel spreadsheet
9.6.
Here.
9.6.
There you go.
9.6, yeah.
So you thought you got 12, but you got 9.6. Well, F&G's Master Choice actually gives you the full amount. I mean, whatever interest you get, you get. Whatever the S&P went up, you get. Just that simple. So it's a real that's where I would start on that. But you're also looking. You want to make sure how does the cost of insurance go up on her policy? Is it going through the roof? Because with UL policies, the cost of insurance goes up every year. No equity index UL is different than that. But what does it go up to? Because what it goes up to takes away from the money that she's trying to put in her cash accumulation. And just when you get her copy of what she has, you can look and see, just compare how hers accumulates versus how yours is projected to accumulate. And from there, you should be able to make a sale. When discussing a couple's coverage,
plus, it doesn't go below 1%, I think, right now.
Right, you can't lose. Well, most equity indexes are like that, though.
Okay.
Most of us went all age groups do not understand social return income, does not provide income. Okay, that's getting a little complicated. Let's see, $80,000 annually. He told me. His wife makes $70,000. Vern, I hadn't finished reading this one, but what do you think about people who are basing their financial future on the life insurance they have through their company they work for?
Sweet Lord.
I heard Bruno say, sweet Lord.
I wonder why you're asking me that. After 22 years in the corporate world, and I had a great group of life insurance, and it ended at midnight when I got laid off. Now, any other type of response?
That's
if they're
about
basing
it
upon that, they better take that. They better look at their ACE card then, because I guarantee you, and it's you can't depend on it.
For me, it's about control.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be in control of your family's financial future if you're not around to finish your responsibility? Do you want something that you've set up on your own so you have control and what you decide is what's going to happen? Or are you really telling me you want your employer to be in control because you don't – I get pumped up about this control thing.
Sure.
Because employers, you know, I mean, it's a great benefit once while it's there, but what if you even left that job? There's no guarantees your next employer is going to offer that to you. There, what about your health situation if you did switch jobs? You know, because a lot of folks, just because it's part of the group, depending on your health, you don't qualify sometimes.
And there's a word I'll take out of what you're saying. I won't say if. If you switch jobs. If
right.
This, if that. It's
right.
When. Because, yeah. Guys, we are now in the information age. We're no longer in the industrial age. This is economic waves. We're no longer in the industrial age. The industrial age was where our parents and grandparents came through, where you could go get a job, work there for 40 or 50 years, or 40, 45 years, let's call it, retire, get a nice gold watch, a good pension plan. If you will read, just take 20 minutes a week and read, peruse the Wall Street journals, read Fortune magazine, Forbes, read any of those magazines, Money magazine, read those magazines, what you're going to see is these companies are changing the pension plans even. so that no longer is it the pension plan that says we're going to give you $5,000 a month. And that's called defined benefit. They're switching to defined contribution, which allows you to put in so much a year, but it gives you no indication of what you're going to get when you retire. Just that one indication alone shows the companies don't care about you. When you leave, they don't expect you to stay there forever. When you leave, your benefits go away. And when that happens, what are you going to do? Because now you're at an older age and you're less healthy, because as we get older, typically we're getting less healthy. It's just the way it works. We're progressing towards the inevitable, right? And it's a long progression, but it's going to happen. What happens then when you find yourself vulnerable and you need to buy life insurance? It's going to be even more expensive on a monthly basis than it is now. And, this agent is asking, okay, well, this CEO makes $180,000 annually and already has $500,000 in life insurance coverage. And then found out that he had another $300,000 through the company. Well, check this out. Post 9/11, the government, remember I said I don't like depending on the government for anything?
Right.
I don't want them to support my family and support me. I want to do it. Well, post 9/11, the government says that if you don't have kids but you're married, you need 12 times the income in life insurance. 12 times. If you're married and you have kids, you need 20 times the income. Why would the government make a recommendation like that? Because they know if you don't do your financial responsibility of covering your family and protecting your family against the inevitable, it's going to happen, guys. You're going to die. It just happens. If they know that when that happens and you don't have the coverage in place, they're going to have to support your family. The government, while all-knowing and all-powerful, a little tongue-in-cheek there, they don't know how to make money. All they do is spend it. They're not a company. They don't generate revenue. They generate money from our taxes. And all they know how to do is spend it. And they don't want to spend money if they don't have to. Well, that's debatable. But they don't want to spend the money in supporting a family if the family could have taken care of it. That's why they're saying you need. So this guy's got who makes $180,000 but has $500,000 in coverage, because crap on the $300,000 he has for his company. That's junk. That's a benefit the company gives him to make him feel good. But when he leaves, he's going to feel like crap. I guarantee you.
5 years of income.
Yeah. So his wife, who's making $70,000 herself, okay, they're used to a $250,000 a year income. All of a sudden, she's going to be operating on a $70,000 a year income.
In 3 years.
Yeah. She's got 3 years, and she runs out of money, and now she's continuing her $250,000 a year lifestyle on $70,000. Well, Fitz, they're living below their means. I don't care. She was used to getting $250,000 a year in her bank account, and now she's only getting $70,000. I don't care if you're living below your means. It's irrelevant. It's an elephant, as my nephew used to say. It's irrelevant. You were used to 250, and now you got 70. Live below your means all you want. You're still making less money, which means, okay, well, you were spending below your means, but what were you saving? Well, I was saving a ton. Okay, well, that savings now that you were saving is not going to be added to anymore. Just do the simple math. $180,000, you got about 3 years. What are you going to do after that? His wife's going to be able to survive for 3 years. Now, his wife is making $70,000. She has $100,000 in life insurance and a large retirement plan of $300,000, which her husband will receive if she dies. But that is not the large retirement plan. I guarantee you she's not planning on that as life insurance. She's planning on it to retire on. It's what was she using it for? She's making $70,000, and she's got $100,000 in life insurance? That's a year. A year and a half that he's going to be getting the same amount of money that he was accustomed to. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't have that same money. So this agent was being sold by the clients big time.
Right.
And it goes on to talk about, and this agent knows who they are. I'm not going to say their name, but you know who you are. And I love you. I'm not trying to pick on you. But they also said that, you know, told the client later on about Master Choice program. They were impressed with it and what it could do for their children. They asked the agent to stay in touch, and the agent now expects to meet with their two children when they come in town. With all apologies to Arthur Miller, that's the death. You just got sold by your client. If you're being sold by your client, you are going to be out of business. Figure out how to turn the tables and sell them. The one that's being sold is the one that's in charge. I mean, this is the one who's not in charge. You're in charge if you're making the sale. They sold you, dude. They sold you. And I would love to be positive and rose-colored glasses and say, hey, man, you're probably going to make a million-dollar master choice sale on each one of them when the kids come back in town. I would love to be rose-colored glasses, but I can count on one finger how many times in 7 years that's happened. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying it's incredibly unlikely. Just like being struck by lightning is unlikely. It could happen, but it's highly unlikely. Well, same thing here. You got sold, dude. And you could probably go back and try to turn the tables on that one, but now you know for future reference, don't be sold.
Well, and when I'm listening to all this, and just I'm standing in my office now, pacing as far as this quarter let me go. But to me, the one thing that keeps flashing in my mind is they filled in the letter.
Right.
Why aren't we just focused on what it is that they're looking for by filling out the letter?
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, I understand we're going to have these objections, but I think anyone listening to this call, you know, especially new agents, need to understand the letter is our bottom line. That's the one thing we have in our corner. They have asked us, you know, basically by sending that letter, I mean, if you'll pretend they left you a voicemail saying, Jason, I'm a friend of so-and-so, I need you to come over and take care of some mortgage protection for me. That's what the lead letter's doing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we're all sitting here chomping at the bit to jump in and add our input. If he's got two kids there, he wants to do a master choice for, then fine, that's great. After business, say, I don't know what the right word is, but take care of the man's needs first.
Right.
Then talk about the kids, because who knows if those kids are even going to be back in the town, but the man mailed in that letter.
And
if he didn't,
his wife did, then she feels vulnerable about something.
And if his wife did, then you better take care of it.
And I'm sitting here now going, how in the crap did you start talking about life insurance coverage with a guy? I can't tell you how many appointments I had. At the end of the appointment, they said, do you also sell life insurance? I could use some.
Mm-hmm.
We're there for mortgage protection. Well, Fitz, that's just marketing. The core of mortgage protection is life insurance. It's the extras on that mortgage protection that make it mortgage protection. And it's not even the extras. It's why are they purchasing it? And it goes back to what Bruno and Vern were just saying. That's your trump card, is that letter they sent back to us. The product was described to them in detail. Good enough layman's terms detail, so they could understand it. They thought enough of it to fill out their personal information and mail it back in. That's your trump card.
It had to be important enough to them to do that, because people with their schedules being what it is, they just don't do that because they have nothing else to do. They're looking for something.
Joseph Sexton says here, with the employer coverage objection, he says, great, get as much of it as you can because your employer is paying virtually all the cost. Uh-huh. It can be a good short-term solution, but wouldn't you agree that's not the best option to protect a 30-year obligation?
Right,
right.
That's good.
And I can't tell you how many times people have, going back to the life insurance there, Fitz, where people have said, oh, I've got all kinds of life insurance, and my comment has been, so great, all that's great, so really what you're looking for today is just something to pay off the mortgage. Is that correct?
I've heard you say that so many times, and it's so perfect. I mean, that's a perfect recovery, guys. Well, I've got plenty of life insurance. Fantastic. So I guess what you're saying is all you need is something to take care of the mortgage.
That's why they mailed a letter. And to almost to a person, they said, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I think a lot of times the objections that people get are self-inflicted objections,
yep.
And here's what I mean by that. It's not necessarily something you say or do, though it is a lot of times, that creates the objection. And I think 95% of the time, the objection is created by something you say or do, I would say.
Yes.
But a lot of the objection isn't really that it's an objection. You heard them say something, and you thought this is what they meant by it. So like when Vern just said, a lot of clients say, well, I already have life insurance. See, you could think what they're trying to say is they don't need life insurance, they don't need this coverage, when in fact, most of the time, what Vern just said, most of the time what they're saying is all they really need is something to cover the mortgage. They don't need extra life insurance. They already have plenty of life insurance. All I need is something for the mortgage. That's a positive objection.
Yep.
But so often in our minds, we immediately go to the negative side of it and go, oh, crap, I can't believe I came on this appointment. They don't want any coverage.
Or you prepare yourself so much that you're anticipating every word out of their mouth is going to be an objection. So when you hear something, it automatically becomes an objection in your mind when it's really not an objection.
Right.
They're making a comment. But I think it all goes back to what Bruno said and we've said before. Why did they mail in that letter?
Yep. That's the trump card. They mailed it in. They read through that. It says on there four basic things of what we're going to do, plus we can do it all without a medically underwritten policy. We can do it with a medically underwritten policy. And they read all that and said, you know what, that was good. I want that. And they sent it in. And you know what? It's rare that people read these letters and send them in. It's actually rare. Well, no, we've got plenty of leads, Fitz. We get leads yet. Yeah. Well, it's rare. Less than 2% of everybody that gets them actually sends them back. Keep that in mind. 98% of the people at least said, no, I don't want this. 2% said, yep, I want it, I need it, I got to have it. That's your trump card. Because the other people that didn't want it, didn't have a need for it, didn't respond.
Right.
All kinds of objections coming in now.
Well, we started something there, huh?
It's a quarter after 11 now. Okay, let's see. Okay. Tough love. It is tough love, man. So the guy that we're just really sort of hammering on. It is tough love. We wouldn't bother telling you what you did wrong if we didn't care about you. Okay, here's a quote. Here's an objection. And it's quarter after, and people are hanging up. If you want to hang up, cool. we're going to continue on for a couple more minutes. I don't want to meet with you. All I want is a quote over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking a lot. I can hit it if you want me to.
Well, I mean, you know, I can certainly understand that, Mr. Jones. I don't know how closely you read the letter, but it talks about not having to take a physical to qualify for this program. And really, it explains everything, you know, in the letter. What we have to do is there are so many options available to you that sitting down one-on-one is really the most time-efficient way of taking care of this. Sending you quotes in the mail is just, there'd be so much paperwork. I mean, it'd be a 2-inch thick envelope because of all the options that are available. I'm only going to need about 15 minutes of your time to go over the options. I'm going to be in your area Tuesday at 7 or Wednesday at 3:30. Will Mary be available also?
I've used that quite often when I was making my own appointments. I've also had it, and it's always worked for me, and whether or not it works for other people, I don't know, but it did work for me, I've used the letter as a basis, which it really is. And I says, you may recall on that, when you mail in that letter, the first paragraph states there that you may qualify without a physical. I says, that's all well and good, but it's difficult the insurance company there that is doing the underwriting, they want to verify that your health is good because there is no physical. Or I usually use the comment, the state of Texas or the state of Illinois, whatever state that happens to be in there, is that they require us to visually verify your health. So if you don't want to meet, if you're not comfortable with meeting in your home, then we can meet somewhere else. But I do need to be able to meet with you, and while I'm there, we can just take care of everything at the same time. And we've had, like Bruno has said, you just want a quote to tell you the truth. I mean, that could be anywhere from, based upon all the different options we have and the different companies that we represent, that could be anywhere from $10 to $100. So it's just hard to tell, because we really try to do is figure out something, or we customize it, if you will, that's something that's going to fit your specific needs and also fit your budget, because I know that's important to you.
Yep. And that's the kind of thing I would say is look, what we're doing is customizing a tailor-fitted program to you and your situation. Every situation is different, so really the best I could do on the phone is a ballpark. And I've seen them as low as – I've seen the lowest one I've seen is about $8 a month, and that was for somebody that was incredibly young and incredibly healthy and a very low mortgage. I can and I've seen them as high as $1,000 a month. It's going to fit somewhere in there. Now, that's obviously a big range, and we'll be able to, in 15 minutes, I'll be able to narrow that down to something a little more specific so that you'll have a better understanding of what this actually is going to be on a monthly basis. But as far as a specific quote goes, I don't have enough information at my fingertips to do that right now. But I'll be in your area on Tuesday night anyway to see you, and I'm going to be there to see some of your neighbors anyway. So 15 minutes, I'll swing by, show you what's available to you. You give me some feedback based on what you're needing and what you're wanting, and we'll discuss your health a little bit. And then when I leave there, you'll have a program that's been tailor-fitted to you. It's a pretty complicated situation, but it's very simple at the same time. I mean, it's something that really takes a lot of effort and a lot of expertise. Fortunately, I've got that. And when we get together, I've gotten so good at it, it's really quick. It doesn't take long at all. So I can be there Tuesday night. Which one, you know, Tuesday at 7 or 9, which one's better for you?
The other way, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to both of you, the other way also, another response to that objection is, you're the third person I've called tonight saying they wanted quotes over the phone. You know, and the other two were because they've already been seen by somebody else and got prices that just blew them out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
And let them tell you, well, yeah, because probably has. That's probably what's happened.
Yep.
They've been seen by somebody else who gave them, you know, they weren't interested in fitting their budget because a lot of folks, you know, coming on board make that mistake. They don't understand they can bring down the program so it does match their budget and at least buy the family some time versus paying off the whole loan. And when they tell you yes, Mr. Jones, I completely understand then why you'd want something over the phone. We do tailor fit this to meet your needs, but we're also very sensitive to making sure it meets your budget. I need 15 minutes to sit down with you and Mary and make sure I'll show you something I promise will fit your budget.
Well, I see one of the things I used to say a lot, and it worked. People would say, well, I'm really just looking for a quote. I'd say, that's why I'm calling. I'm going to be in your area Tuesday night. I can bring the quote by.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm calling, to set up a 15-minute time where I can bring it by and show you what it is and help you understand what it means. But this agent also just sent another email back that he did that, and she still just wanted a quote. What's next? Well, I don't know this specific situation, but I'll say this. You used a word there that perked my ears up. She. If I'm a guy, which I am, and I'm calling a female that may happen to be single, she may not feel safe about some strange man coming to her house to sell her, quote, insurance, as she's thinking it through.
Sometimes they told you that.
Yeah, she's being wise.
Right.
And so if you're looking at the lead and she's the only one on there, you could say, Mary, I notice that you only put your name on this letter. A lot of times when that happens, and I get the kind of, you know, the quote, the asking for a quote in a situation like this, it's where the woman's single and she's really kind of concerned about me coming over because I'm a strange man. And I understand that. I wouldn't want my daughter to just have some strange man come over either. And I don't have a daughter. I didn't say I did. I would want her to have some strange man coming over either. So, I mean, Mary, what I suggest is let's meet at a Starbucks or something right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere neutral. Is there a place that you like to frequent? We can even swing by a McDonald's or something. Hey, I'll buy you a burger. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable at all. That may be what's happening here is she feels uncomfortable just talking to you on the phone. She feels uncomfortable enough that she says, oh, I just want a quote. I don't want anybody coming to my house.
What she's really saying is she don't want anybody coming to your house. Like you said. And I've used that same comment before, and more of a question to it is Mary, I understand, would you feel more comfortable if we met somewhere else beside your home, like Starbucks, whatever it is? I don't know what it is. I like the word comfortable. I said this before in my role playing. I just like that word. Do you feel more comfortable, even with the price? Are you comfortable with this? Are you comfortable with that? And this seems to, I don't know, it just makes them feel more like they're relating better or whatever.
I had to laugh because the agent just sent another email. He's got an answer for everything. He says she's married. Well, again, I don't know all the situations. Answer for everything, man. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe the last time she brought a guy over, her husband beat the crap out of him. Maybe she has a history of cheating on her husband, and here's just another guy coming to her house. Hell, I don't know. What I'm saying is, I would say 9 out of 10 times, if somebody on the phone is asking you for a quote, and you tell them, look, I've seen it as cheap as about $8 or $9 a month, and that was for somebody incredibly young, incredibly healthy, and with incredibly low mortgage, and I've seen it as high as $1,000 a month. That's the ballpark I can give you. Without meeting you face to face, I can't give you more specifics. If somebody hears that and they still say, well, I just want a quote, I don't want you to come by, you've somehow made them feel uncomfortable. And it could be they're single, or it could be that, and I'm not picking on this guy at all. I mean, I'm saying this to everybody. They could think that you come across as a jerk, and I don't want to invite a jerk to my house. And so in this situation, and everything you told me, my advice is record your phone call next time and give it to your manager and let them give you some feedback.
Yeah,
because you may be coming across a little creepy.
Or telemarketing.
I'd go back to what you said earlier. What did you say? Maybe it's something you said in the beginning that's causing that to happen in the first place, or your approach. So you might want to go back and look at your telephone, your script, and how you're saying those things, or what you're saying, or in the way you're saying them, because you may be coming across as a telemarketer.
Yep.
And maybe just like what Bruno was saying earlier, just come back and say, you know, you're the third person today to ask that.
And I just stepped away from my monitor because I don't want to see this agent send an email back and go, I'm not sounding creepy. And I don't think he would, but I'm just saying, look, if and this is coming maybe to a deeper rooted problem. We've had a lot of calls about this, but if it's consistent that it's something about the client, and it's nothing about you, then it's really about you.
It is.
And I'm not saying this again. I'm not saying it specifically to this agent. That's why I stepped away. I didn't want to give him a chance to send an email back and me lambast him. So I'm just saying this to everybody, that everybody, if it's consistently, and in this situation, you came back with, it may be something you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing. Record what you're doing and pick up on that one little thing that may be coming across as creepy or telemarketing. And Joseph Sexton sent an email here, a retort to that objection, and I know he got this. He may have come up with it himself, but I've seen it written just like this and said just like this on MP3s and recordings from NAA and from the Fitz Group. It says, nothing would make my job easier. Since you can qualify with no medical exam, the state requires that we visually verify your health. If you're on an iron lung, that's fine. We just need to make sure you're alive and kicking. The great thing is you get to pick your options and pick your own price. I'll be in your area on Tuesday at 7 or 9. Which one's better?
Yep. That's kind of, he's taken, Joseph taken several pieces out of different MP3s, mm-hmm. different recordings, different whatever that we have distributed throughout the rest of all the different systems
yep.
here we have.
And I don't want to, I mean, I hope the agent didn't feel like we were picking on him there. But here's, here's something else that may have made an issue there. Did you tell the client no? I mean, that's where I say, you know what, we need to role play that phone call and figure out what you did and what you're saying, because there's all kinds of things that could have happened there. Did you tell the client no? Did she say, can I have a quote, and you say no? Or did the client say, give me a quote, and you came up with that great speech about, you know, as low as $8 to $1,000 a month. You know, it could be anywhere in that range. And stop there. Or did you go on with a closing statement? See, overcoming an objection is not complete until you close it. So you overcome it, great. The $8 to $1,000 is an overcoming of that objection. Now close it. I'm going to be in your area Monday at 7 or 9. Which one's better for you? That's the closing statement. That's the moving towards an appointment statement. Okay. We're way over time. I appreciate this, guys. I thank you, Vern and Bruno, for really sort of last-minute jumping in with me and having fun playing on this call. Thank you guys for sending those objections. Don't take anything personally. We always like to say, chances are we're going to offend you. Just choose to have that offense be a positive offense, something that you don't trip over, but instead you step up on and get better. That's why we say it. Again, if we didn't want you to get better, we wouldn't tell you the truth. We'd tell you some lie and go, oh, well, you're never going to get that objection. We'd give you some line, that, and in the learning curve, you're going to get objections. That's why we did this call today, so that you can eliminate those as quickly as possible. And once you understand why you're getting the objections, now you can change your presentation so that you don't get them in the first place. And that's what the top producers have done. So hope this has helped. We do appreciate feedback and appreciate questions and tailor-fitting these conference calls to you. So let us know what we can do to help. Hey, everybody, if you're going to leadership, we'll see you there. If you're not going to leadership, we won't see you there. How you like that? We'll tell you all about it when we get back. Only we're going to be gone for like 3 days. There's no way we're going to spend 3 days telling you about it. So have fun. Everybody have fun this weekend. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.